Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy?
Aye, you'll find out on VG247's podcast.
Here, what's the best game where you swing from a rope? And what's the best game where you batter the Pope?
Assassin's Creed 2. Like I said, you will find out in this your podcast.
Hello and welcome to VG247's Best Games Ever podcast, the show where we attempt to find the best game within a really specific category. For example, this week we're looking for the best game where the protagonist's name is a stupid pun, inspired, of course, by Alan Wake 2. It's awake, like awake, because he's always in a dream state. You guys get that? There's loads of great examples of this. Is most of them from Remedy. There's Max Payne, which is Maximum Payne. Like, what is? He's not even. I mean, he's not. It sort of implies that, like, I know it's meant to be a sort of clever allusion to the fact that he's always taking painkillers because he's constantly getting shot, but he's also, you know, like, living through the pain of having lost his entire family at the start of the game. But it's not that clever, is it? It's not that clever. I think it's less clever than Tails Miles Prower, which took people about 30 years to actually get, didn't it? Like, people on Twitter, like, I remember about 5 years ago, someone said, oh, yes, it's Miles Prower as in miles per hour. And everyone was like, what the fuck? I didn't clock that before. People who played Sonic the Hedgehog 2 when they were literally like 9 years old when it came out, who were now in their 30s, being like, this is like a really obvious pun about speed in a child's game about speed, and I didn't get it until someone pointed it out to me as an adult. Anyway, I'm spiraling. Joining us today is James Billcliffe, Mark Warren, and Rebecca Jones. How are you all doing? Ooh.
I'm all right. We're
battered by the storm currently. Yeah. So
we're recording this on storm day. So if one of us just disappears,
it's probably going to be me. To be fair, this is getting really, really hairy now that I've started recording. Obviously, it's really kicked
it's
up.
It started up. Oh dear. All right. Well, we better
fingers
start
crossed
with you
for
then,
my electricity. To... Oh yeah. See, I manipulated that situation so well. I want to go first.
Unbelievable.
But
it cuts to your bed, your window where you're recording, and there's nothing. I bet it's fine. There's no like seagulls going backwards or anything like that. It's just
I mean, I control the weather, so really, really, okay. I made this happen.
Okay, right. So, what is the best game where the protagonist has a stupid pun for a name? There's got to be loads of them, right?
Well, Jim, I'm here today for one reason and one reason only, and it is that I cannot allow an episode on stupid pun names in games to pass without someone mentioning Ace Attorney. I have to make sure it happens.
Yeah.
So it has to be me. And like, yeah, the reason I wanted to go first was I was like, surely we've all picked Ace Attorney. Probably. Hopefully we haven't, but I was like, just in case we have. It's like, so if you type punny name into TV Tropes, which is the source of all of my pop cultural knowledge, it is an Ace Attorney character that pops up. Literally, Ace Attorney's picture is next to stupid pun names in what is the closest thing to a dictionary we have for tropes. So like, it's okay. Gotta be this, surely. I mean, like, the thing is, yes, almost every character's name in these games is a pun, including that of the protagonist, but really it's a world full of people whose names are puns, to the point where the protagonist's names seem fairly normal after a while. Everyone's name is, like, it's rarer to find someone whose name isn't a pun. And when their name isn't a pun, you're like, well, there's something about them.
Oh, that's like a clue.
Literally, the later you get in the series, they become like self-aware about how stupid these puns are, to the point where they will use people's names as evidence. And they'll be like, we should have guessed that there was something about this person because their name is a pun on this phrase.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a mad world. So the one that's come up from TV Tropes is the bomb disposal expert Ted Tonate. And that's the level we're working on with Ace Attorney. Particularly the English translation, although I'm given to understand that in Japanese most of the names are puns. Slightly less on the nose than things like the tour guide called I'll Be Your Guide. Like I'll be your guide.
I love that already. That's
the vast
great.
Majority of the people that they meet in these games have names that are just a really, really stupid pun. I love it. It's one of the, you know, one of the most delightful things about a delightful series of games is the ridiculous puns and the pop cultural references. So yeah, someone had to come in and say it.
What are the protagonist names again?
So you got Phoenix Wright, because he's always right in the end. And it gets punned on in the games. People call him Phoenix Wrong. Phoenix Wrong then became a web series that is like a spoof of Phoenix Wright, I think. And then there's like Miles Edgeworth is the other protagonist, and that's like this, it's supposed to be something on like the blade of a sword, the edge of a sword, but I'm like, to be honest, that's a little bit high and conceptual compared to the
I imagine those two probably work better in Japanese, perhaps.
Maybe they do, although I believe in Japanese, at least for Phoenix Wright, his last name is Naruhodo, which is I think I see, so it's sort of a very light pun on the idea of like perceiving the truth, whereas like actually Phoenix Wright probably a bit more direct.
Yeah,
he's always right.
So much classier, isn't it? Like, well he's always right, isn't he, as opposed to okay. So the bulk of the stupid puns come from the supporting cast, I guess.
Have you got
like a list of I know you've run through a few, but have you got like a list of favourites?
Oh, I've got a list here. I've got a list open. Someone has very, very carefully collated all of them. Although this list is 9 years old, so the most recent three games are not represented, sadly. Okay. I don't know. I like some of the really kind of like dumb ones from the first game. The first game is the one that I've played the most. That's the one that always sticks out in my mind. And there's like Wendy Oldbag. I love her. It's just a windy old bag. She talks too much. Other favorite, and it's not a great, it's not even like that good a pun, but I like Penny Nichols because she's like, the idea is that she's like a collector. And so you're meant to think of like, oh, like a coin collector.
Oh, okay.
But I like the name Penny Nichols because she's like a broke, she's like an assistant at a film studio. So she's not getting paid a lot, but she loves to collect like merch, like same. And I'm like, I don't know. She's a great character as well, but I just really resonate with that. It's like Penny Nichols. She's got no money, but she's somehow finding money for all these like Pokemon cards or whatever that she wants. Like,
same.
Oh my God, there's so many of them. I'm just skimming down the list to find all of the really like
anyone called murderer or something.
Oh, there's
like
Shelley the Killer. guess what he did? Shelley the Killer. Oh my God, there's so many ridiculous ones. Luke Atme, the attention-seeking detective.
Unbelievable.
Like, you know, it's just a world of ridiculous pun names. I like
the idea that in just, you know, knowing sort of, you know, watching anime and stuff and reading like a lot of translation notes for that kind of thing. I think the way the Japanese language, I mean, I'm not like, I don't know anything about languages. I don't have a language's brain, but as I understand it, like the way the Japanese language works, it's a lot kind of, the way puns work in Japanese, it just is fundamentally different. And you've got kind of like, sounds that sound the same in different words and stuff like that. And concepts that kind of carry over between different things. So like the puns are often sort of like when they're explained to you, like, oh, okay, that's really clever. That sounds really clever. And it's subtle, or it's like, you know, or it requires a sort of deep cultural context that we just wouldn't really have over here. And then it gets, you know, and it goes through the sort of the idiot sort of Western machine and comes out as like, this nonsense. So I love that. I love that it's not only are they stupid puns, but they're kind of like a pulverization of probably quite elegant and witty puns that exist.
Quite possibly. But I think, you know, the Ace Attorney localization teams are really well regarded for a reason.
Of course.
The decision to just go full on, like, we're just going to do dumb puns, like, we're going to hit you with them. Our remembered another Celeste Impacts because she's dead before the start of the game. So rest in peace.
Amazing.
It's so bad, but I love it. Can't get enough of it.
Okay. So any particular Ace Attorney game? The first one, I guess?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with the first one. It's good clean puns throughout. Salmonella, the creepy guy. He's like just a bit, ugh, salmonella.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just a word. That's like, I love that. Okay. All right. That's cool. Cool. So it's like, so that's like a feast of bad puns with Ace Attorney. Right. Let's move on to James is basically filling in for Tom for the next few episodes. So we're going to make you go last, as is tradition.
Wait, am I on this episode? Mark. I've not said anything yet. Am I allowed to talk?
Yeah, you've got to think really hard about how you're going to roast me for liking visual novels. That's what Tom usually does. So.
Yeah. Are you like stepping into the sort of Tom complaining about how I'm hosting? Like, really taking the role seriously?
Well, right, I don't need to try very hard, is all I'll say.
Right. For the sixth time, Mark, what would you like to present for this topic?
Right. First of all, Tom may not be here, but I'm going to start off with a little bit of a story that you may have to cut out. So, as somebody that does a lot of reporting on mods and people on social media sites, punny names are a bit of a thing for me. I was reporting on one the other day, a mod, by somebody who had the username Connor Rhea, which, because I hadn't said it out loud, didn't mean anything to me until the thing was all ready to go live and I realised it was probably a pun on gonorrhea. So yeah, that's a glimpse into my life to start off with. My pick this week is Red Dead Redemption 2, a game that answers the question, what if Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid was very, very depressing? the protagonist of said game, of course, is Arthur Morgan, whose name has the word Morgan in it, which is also a breed of horse in the game. It's one of the worst horses because it's a workhorse. It has very average stats, and it reflects the fact that, as of the time of the game, Arthur Morgan is basically the Vandalin gang's workhorse. Gone are the days when he was the prodigal son, Dutch Vandalin's favourite child, and now he's reduced to doing odd jobs for money while Dutch talks to a guy with a mustache.
But yes. So it's a bit of a how would you describe it? It's an inside baseball sort of pun, isn't it? It's within the fiction of the game, it's a pun.
Basically, what I'm going for here is the fact that the most stupid things are things that think they're clever, which is the entirety of Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
It's basically overtly long, labored points. It gets to a point in chapter 5 or 6 or whatever where everything's just getting really bad. The point of the game is that the era of outlaws is over. And basically, it's been driving the nail in for a good, like, 40 or 50 hours at this point. And you're just like, yeah, I get it now. You're very clever. Move on. And it never really moves on. And this punny name is basically a microcosm of all of that, which is something that I can appreciate because basically it's like all of my features. It makes a very clever point. in a manner that makes you think by the end, I'm not really sure if this is very clever anymore because you've gone on about it to the point where I'm just sick of hearing about it.
I mean, is this like Rockstar's kind of, is that the general direction of travel with all their, because, you know, people talk about Grand Theft Auto being a great European satire of how absurd America is. But it's like, it's not a great satire, is it? It's mostly just kind of like, it takes America as we know and understand it and sort of changes the names to stupid ones.
It's reached the point where the best way that they can figure out to actually satirize our terrifying world is to do the very straight-laced GTA Online, which parodies our world by basically just epitomizing all of its worst aspects.
Yeah.
There's horrible microtransactions. Mm. There's people killing you. There's a general sense that nobody gives a shit whether you live or die.
Mm.
That's
America, baby. humanity's worst excesses as a nation.
Yes, and Red Dead Redemption 2 is basically that, but there's no other people to keep you interested, so you're just stuck for hours in a box with men telling you, this is the end of an era, you know? And
yeah.
Your response is, yes, it is. Please stop telling me that.
Yeah. All right. I love it.
Do you actually like this game? Red Dead?
Oh,
because I've heard this take a couple of times now that Red Dead Redemption 2 is bad, actually, and it offends me quite a lot because it is a great game.
What you're not taking into account is that I love very bad things. Mm. I've spent about 100 hours playing Starfield so far. I hate it. It's so impersonal and lacking personality that I can't even begin to describe it. But yes, I love bad things, and I love Red Dead Redemption 2 in the worst way.
I think it's quite what James was looking for there, but it's a good answer.
Mark, I respect the hell out of that position. I also love bad things. Like, I'm so glad that we are on the same wavelength for this. But I would like to just throw in a little. I still think this is too clever. Like, I was quite impressed with the Morgan pun once you explained it. Whereas, just to bring us back to my pick, the protagonist's best friend is called Larry Butts because he smells like a butt. So, you know, if you want a stupid pun, like, you know, you make a great case for Rockstar's puns
that a pun, or is that just sort of nominative determinism? He's just called Butt.
Butts, B-U-T-Z, which could plausibly be a surname.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
all right.
So,
okay. Yeah. All right. I'll allow it. All right. Okay. So I love the idea that Red Dead Redemption 2 sort of occupies a bit. Like, I don't think there's. It's a possible future topic, isn't it? But I don't think there's enough games to quite cover it. We could do the best game that simulates having to manage and then die from a horrific disease, and it would be like Red Dead Redemption 2, Far Cry 2. What else is there?
Dead Rising 2, if you count looking after your daughter, I guess.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
a good one.
Okay.
The Techland one, which is the Dead Rising, yeah. You turn into a zombie in that one, don't you? Or stop yourself from.
Yeah.
Technically, I guess Baldur's Gate 3 as well.
That would win.
Actually quite topical. So
I love it. We've just done a little mini episode there, a little bonus one for you. You'll have to throw out a point for that later as well. All right, well, Rebecca's got a point for that because Baldur's Gate 3 wins. Right, okay. Let's move on to James Billcliff, who hasn't been on the podcast for weeks now because he's been gallivanting around. You've been to America. You were on the podcast last week because you dialed in from New York.
You were still giving me pelters, even though I'd put the effort in. you were saying, couldn't bring myself to do a piece to camera in Times Square. Surely it's Vlogger Central. I'm telling you, it isn't. Because... I don't know if you've been to Times Square recently, but as soon as you take any piece of audiovisual equipment above kind of waist height, there is a Honduran lady dressed as Elsa from Frozen, and she is getting in that shot, whether you like it or not. And when and afterwards, she isn't asking you for the tenor, you're giving it to her. And so there is absolutely no way that I could have filmed anything usable in that environment because it's really funny. It's a really strange place to walk around because there's just all of these people dressed as off-brand characters and they've just all got the vibe that they're ready to absolutely throw hands at any point because you've got to be half-assed to work in New York City, aren't you? Especially in a kind of public facing, really competitive thing like that. And they're just knocking about like they're going to throw hands at any point. And so, yeah. I could not do a piece to camera in that environment.
That you're like... I love that you're now like we're going to take some time to like address all the criticisms that you received last week. And it's a pity Tom isn't here because he's been like giving you a lot of pelt as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, just every in order to distract from his own many shortcomings. what is in your opinion the best game where the protagonist has a stupid pun for a name?
So after the legendary debacle that we had, I don't know, probably over a year ago now, which is a bit scary in itself, where me, Sharif, and Alex didn't know what a pun was, or not know what a pun was, didn't know what an acronym was, or Sharif claimed to know.
Yeah.
I don't think they actually did. I think they just had the Wikipedia up at the same time. We'll see. But I was absolutely desperate to... actually pick a game that where the protagonist whether specifically the protagonist had a name that was definitely and exclusively actually a pun, and I was reaching for all sorts of stuff, and the Miles Tales Prowl one, that was one of my favorite ones. I remembered that from when I was a kid, but as we well know, all Sonic games are terrible. There are no good ones. I'm reaching in my brain now. I can't think of any good ones, like legitimately good Sonic games. And that sounds like
the Murder
comment
of
bait.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh yes, 2023 is the year of the first good Sonic game. That is a great shout, actually. But so I've gone for the.
Sorry to interrupt your flow, but I couldn't let it pass.
No, it's great. It's perfect. It's perfect. I think the. the perfect balance between actual pun for a name, legendary game with a great number of fans, and a definitely deservedly legendary status is Grim Fandango, the LucasArts visual novel, which I'm sure Rebecca is a big fan as well. Are you going to back me up on this one, Rebecca? You like Grim Fandango?
I haven't actually played it yet, but I love everything I've seen about it.
This is
I wasn't a LucasArts kid. I'm still catching up. Is it an adventure game rather than a visual novel? But I was exclusively a Sierra kid. So if it's LucasArts, then I'm still on the catch up.
Yeah.
Decades later.
Yeah. So I was a LucasArts kid, arts kid, and Grim Fandango was like one of my favorite games of all time. So I'll back you up on that.
I can't believe we just ended this friendship. I do like what I know of it.
But anyway, so the it's, I think, when I was a teenager and sort of getting pretentiously into games, as I always like to say, Grim Fandango was one of those ones that you kind of look back through the Metacritic best list and be like, that was the game that. That was one of the games that was one of this from the 90s that was presented as one of the all-time greats. You've got to play this. If you're into games, you've got to play this. And so it was one that I went back and played through DOSBox on a laptop and all of that sort of stuff. And it's obviously a lot more accessible now because of the remaster, but it follows Manny Calavera.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Calavera in Spanish is Skull or Skull and Crossbones or Jolly Roger, like the pirate flag or whatever. And he is a sentient skeleton who ferries dead people from the land of the living to the afterlife. And it's all this kind of cerebral, funny, silly adventure game where you are basically uncovering this underworld plot, which is based around sort of film neo-noir and gangsters, mafia, and it has this Dia de los Muertos, which is, as we record today, hashtag just saying, aesthetic, and it's just a brilliant story. It's incredible. It's fantastic and really emblematic of the time. And
it is.
Yeah. And it's a brilliant pun. It's really dumb and clever at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that it comes up or you remember it coming up often as being like, you know, like on lists of this is one of the games that you have to play if you have any like
love
for this medium at all, because it is one of the greats. It's probably, I mean, the kind of stuff that it deals with, you know, because it's as you say, it's set in the afterlife and it's got this kind of it's got this kind of two worlds thing going on, where in the first act of the game, you do go into the world of the living to kind of do some grim reaping, and the way the world of the living is presented is like it's really warped and it's terrifyingly sort of like, and you imagine that, like, you know, if you are, you know, if you are someone who lives in the afterlife, which obviously doesn't exist, but like if you did live in some plane beyond this realm, then your perception of this realm would surely change. It's just an idea that makes perfect sense. It plays a lot with these ideas, and it's really smart and really clever. It's a really kind of relatively early example of games as like proper narrative powerhouses. It's great. So I'll back you up, James. It is good.
It has a funny.
It's not
kind
a visual
of,
novel, though. I don't know.
No,
where
it's
that
not
came
a visual
from.
Novel. That was just that was the lights and the camera on me making me misspeak. Obviously, it's an adventure game. Obviously, that's the proper genre that it is. But I think it's also the only game that I know of where one of the puzzles is predicated on knowing who Robert Frost is, the American poet, and I think that's just. Again, emblematic of the time that it was, of the time that it was released, where it was a funny mixture between games being perceived as specifically for children, but also having these like narratively crafted games, like you say that it was a seriously and smartly conceived and directed experience that was meant to just tell a brilliant story, and it was completely successful in doing that, and it is rightly revered as one of the best games because of that, because also it didn't really have that grounding of other stuff to build from. It was taking in inspirations from poetry, from novels, from films, from TV and all of that sort of stuff to create something that was that was interactive and interesting and different within the time that it was released, and which you can kind of see those aspects in all of in the other two games that we've been presented today, that you wouldn't have visual novels without adventure games, because they're almost visual novels almost adventure games without the bits that people don't like, the esoteric puzzles and stuff.
They're very closely related as genres,
And then the pretense.
Are you going to say they're adventure games without the budget or production values?
Yeah, I suppose. But then I don't think you would also have Rockstar games, because there's a certain amount of pretense in the adventure genre too, and Rockstar is all pretense. Based on like Mark says, the mechanics that are deliberately bad. Like you think of the City of Saint Denis in Red Dead Redemption 2, where it is deliberately annoying to kind of to try and give the impression of Arthur Morgan being this kind of wild man that finds the city strange and rage inducing. That's always bumping into people and everybody's saying, "What are you doing this for?" And the cops are always on you, and he's just like, "What is happening? I hate this place. I've got to get out of here." And that's a really interesting example of something being deliberately bad or annoying to get across a narrative point. And I think that is a direct line to adventure games, where they were esoteric and weird to put you in the shoes of a protagonist who is in a strange and weird scenario. Drink my root beer.
Bloody hell. That's proper fucking criticism going on. We're not used to that on this podcast. Right, okay. So I'm... I have to pick something now. So we all have to listen to that fucking theme tune.
Yes.
Which
I have not heard this yet.
I've grown to despise.
Well, you got to play it for James then.
James is definitely going to be sick of it by the end of today, because he's going to hear it three times. Right. By popular demand, then, genuinely, people, if it's not in, there was one episode where it wasn't in and people kicked right off. Like, where was the gym theme? Somebody asked for the gym theme in a video that wasn't even a podcast. They're like, where's the gym theme? I'm like, well, it's a fucking preview for, like, Avatar or whatever. Like, what are you on about? Anyway, all right, okay. My sincere, heartfelt apologies.
Goes on, doesn't it?
Apparently they really like Tekken in Ireland.
Think I knew that, actually.
Okay, right. So we have Red Dead Redemption 2, which Mark insists is actually crap, thus sort of disqualifying himself.
10 out of 10 game.
We have...
Never mind.
We have... I mean, it helps you if we accept that it is crap, James. So
I know, but this take is...
Rebecca. Rebecca has submitted Ace Attorney, which is... as we established in the confusion earlier, is Ace Attorney is a visual novel, right? A visual novel with a bit of object finding.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. As we established earlier, visual novels are the poor cousins of point-and-click adventure games, meaning that, unfortunately, James Billcliffe has won upon his return Grim Fandango.
Hang on, though. Hang on.
Yeah?
An objection to make.
Were you hoping to not be picked so you could pull that out?
Oh yeah, you
amazing.
Know it. It's well, been on my lap the entire time. My wires are everywhere to try and accommodate this. Oh, but no, genuinely though, you made like James made such a like beautiful and eloquent and compelling case for how great this game that I still really need to play is. But it was a clever pun. That is my genuine objection. I still feel I filled the brief, but genuinely, I just wanted to
show off
that this is the pillow that I actually use to support my back while I work.
have you got a giant objection plushie? Or
is it going to be as good?
I think just the only thing that I'd say about Phoenix Wright is that the specific category that we're trying to fulfill is protagonist, whose name is a pun. And is his name actually a pun?
You do have me there. I was hoping no one would spot it. It is. It's right, because he's always right.
I would argue that just having the Spanish for skull be the name of a guy who is a skull is...
Even more on the nose. I mean, it's fair. I was hoping that no one would pull me up on the fact that the protagonists don't have the punniest names in these games. I was really hoping that would fly under the radar. No, it was very well-deserved win from James, honestly.
I think Manny Calavera just ticks all of those boxes. It's actually fairly stupid. I mean, Mark even said earlier that like the stupidest things are things that think they're clever, and I think somebody thought they were clever by going, it's the Spanish for skull. And this is basically a point and click adventure game about the Mexican Day of the Dead, so obviously it's the Spanish for skull. Like it's fairly stupid, but it works. So, all right, Grim Fandango is the best game where the protagonist name is this is a mouthful, this topic, isn't it? The best game ever where the protagonist's name is a stupid pun. So Grim Fandango is better than Alan Wake, Alan Wake 2, Max Payne. It's better than all the Sonic games. And Mark's got an objection. Have you got an objection?
I'm just wondering, do I get half a point if my argument wins it for somebody else?
Unfortunately not, because otherwise we'd have to retroactively give Tom about 16 points, I think. So
Nobody wants that.
I think we can do that. I think we can do that.
No. I don't want to give Tom the satisfaction of that. Christ. He's already been insufferable about this episode that he isn't even on. So, okay, right. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much to my wonderful panel for playing. What a great episode. What a great episode. What a great topic. And I'll, James, I'll try and introduce you better on the next one.
Please do. I had to wait 20 minutes to air my grievances on this one. And the list is mounting.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Right, so please leave us a 5-star review if you think we deserve it. And if you don't think we deserve it, just don't say anything. Don't click anything, because some people, and, you know, I love that anyone who takes the time to say nice things about our podcast, but some people have given us a joking 1-star. And then when you read the actual body of the review, it's like giving this 1-star because Tom was robbed. And like, they're clearly fans of the show, but it's like, that's it doesn't help. It's people just look at the star and go, 1-star from 1 guy in Portsmouth. I mean, that's clearly crap then. So, yeah, so please, if you like the show, please give us a 5-star review somewhere. Please like and subscribe on YouTube. Please tell your friends about it. And hopefully that's enough, Tom. I don't like doing this salesman part. It's beneath me. It's beneath me and my art. All right. Thanks very much, everyone. Bye. 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 Bye.